First off, we'll just kind of go around the table where everybody do an introduction, like you normally do. So I'm John London, I'm the Executive Director of the Area Plan.
Fred Schmidt, City Engineer, City Engineer.
Doug Jones, City Engineer, Port Authority.
Today, it's your Lieutenant MDO.
John Stoll, Danbury County Engineer.
Craig Lipke with the MDO.
Rob Schaefer with the MDO.
Sean Blue and Chad.
Hannah Brown, MPA.
John Petrosa, Kevin Matthews Associates.
Dan Clyde, Rob and Don.
I'm Doug Jones, City Engineer.
I'm Nick Hall, City Engineer.
Terry Agent, Evan Stone, MDO.
I'm Kurt Schrolling, President of Port Authority.
Can I ask about what part of that is that?
Lynn Barnes, City of Ellsworth, State of Florida.
Howard Luxoy, Transcom Corporation.
Mike Daniel, Dean Patrick, and Chamber of Commerce.
Aaron Schuber, MDO.
Our name is MDO.
Tracy Matthews, County of Ellsworth.
Jason Williams, P. O.C.T. David Williams, State of Michigan. Richard Blair, City of MDO.
All right. Do we have a motion for approval of minutes from the last meeting?
Some of them.
Second? Everyone in favor, aye?
Aye.
All right, next to old business, Pam.
Okay, Project Cascade, start with the City of Evansville project, Washington Avenue, Winnebago Avenue intersection. Surface asphalt is planned for placement today and tomorrow, weather depending. Winnebago Avenue Road Diet, the consultant is working with Evansville Water and Sewer Utility to address the drainage concerns. Preliminary field check is planned for late January 26th. So Washington Avenue, Second Street Parish area. A December 4th meeting is scheduled with Federal Highway Impact and the State Historic Preservation Commission of Chippewa to discuss the environmental action. The pedestrian overpass, a ribbon cutting was opening of the overpass itself on November 12th. Under the Greenway project, a high road corner, the historic properties report has been submitted to conduct the review. And for the mid-levy connection, a consulting firm has been selected for contract negotiations and the negotiations are underway. Vanderbilt County project, Merrill Street Bridge, the deck on the east span of the bridge was pulled in November. Keppel Road project, 19 of the 30 parcels have been secured and utility coordinates continue. Green River Road from Kansas to Greenville Harmony, the NDOT LPA contract was signed by the commissioners on the 24th of November. And moving on to page 5, under Kentucky Transportation Cabinet Project, US Highway 41, Kentucky 812 project, a preliminary line and grade meeting was held on December 1st. Under I-69 corridor, section 6, NDOT has scheduled public meetings for November 30th and December 2nd to collect additional public comments for the refinement of the 5 preliminary alternatives to that section.
Quick question. Last section of the winter, what's the schedule on that?
We have not been given a date that is when it's going to be open yet. There was an article in the paper that talked about the ribbon cutting, but in the article, you see that in that there's so much more in the public that we can
draw. But it should be
coming soon. I heard something on the radio this morning that it's open. Ribbon cutting, they're hoping that the 9th.
Right.
It's a ribbon cut, ribbon cutting.
I said it doesn't need to tell. I didn't say it. I'm going to tomorrow.
And then the I-69 project in Kentucky on November 16th, the governor and various officials, including Star Highway, officially unveiled the I-69 designation of the Pennywell Parkway from Hopkins County to Henderson County. I-69 now in Kentucky now runs from I-24 to Kentucky 425 in Henderson County. sign work will be continuing. There will be some changes to other Kentucky routes that will be necessary as a part of this opening. And part of Kentucky 425 will become US 41, and US 41 will be rerouted along the remaining portion of the Penny Brow Parkway that did not become I-60. So a lot of great places to come.
All right, Ralph?
Yes.
Number one, here is seeking adoption of the City of Evansville's Metropolitan Evansville Transit System Comprehensive Operational Analysis. The draft plan was presented at last month's meeting on November 6th. It was presented by Michael Gerlach and David Galpinet of Boston Group. Some highlights of the plan are recommendations are Sunday service, an accelerated schedule for acquisition of buses, increased route frequency, route straightening and simplifying, creation of express routes, and creation of cross-town routes. The draft final report is available to review at metrotransitstudy.info, and the adoption of this COA is an action item for the policy and principal meeting. So ask for your approval.
Does anybody have any questions or comments? Do we have a motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. On to new business. Sam?
For over a year now, we've been working with the Transnet Corporation on the development of a pavement management system for our entire planning area. So all of Warwick, all of Denver, and all of Henderson County. And the members from the Transnet Group here today to tell us where we are.
I'm Frank Schulman. I'm the Vice President of Transnet. Howard Lister is also the President of Transnet. We want to present to you some of the findings from the study we've been doing. So we're over the years. Okay, so we're going to go through a little bit here. I'm going to talk about the technology that I'm with all of you with here, or for the vehicle, and we did a show and tell last year. Talk a little bit about the system we're using to get these results. It's called Micropaver. And then, we're going to go over, obviously you all understand the participants, we're going to go City of Henderson, Warwick County, Vandenberg, and so a little bit about the technology. We had a media day, that's one of the pictures of the media day, that's the vehicle in the background. It's kind of broken out into two parts, right? So one is the imagery on the top of the van that helps us get assets, and signs and paper markings and sidewalks and things like that. Then we got the back of the vehicle, which is the pavement portion of the vehicle. There's two boxes that hang off the back of the vehicle that has our laser track measurement system. That's what that LCMS is used to. It's 2015 technology. We did purchase it as in 2014. What we did, we drove every lane in the network, right? So it's everywhere we have it. So yes, it's time consuming, but to get a complete coverage, that's what we need to do. Okay. A little bit more about technology. So this little circle kind of shows, well, it starts with a band that measures all these cracks, but we still have to define the cracks into the system so we can load it into Micropaver. We do QAQ screen the field. We did a walk out in each community just to have a little QAQC. And then the customer goes to their interface, well, what do you get? You get the results. It's pretty massive up here, reporting what we've done, and then the ability to view the imagery in an online environment. This is just an example of what the LCMS produces, okay? It produces cracks, okay? So all these cracks have a different level of severity to them. I color-code these cracks in what we call the age point standard is, the green and blue ones are low, they're not wide, and the red ones are wide. And so are the ones that are orange and kind of in the middle. Right here, you see I picked the area that had my cracks for display purposes. So this is just a vehicle that's produced, and we can sort of think that they're blue like that, that's pilots. Okay? So it takes on pilots because it gets to that piece of compass. Okay? So that's kind of the overall about technology, what we use to get the needs come in. So the system that kind of we have to load up to get to 0 to 100 is, everybody's familiar with APWH, American Public Works Society Association, and then my favorite paper, which is a paper management system that's created by the Army Corps of Engineers, that APWH sells and then supports. So we're part of this whole network, you know, partners with APWA, with MicroPaper. We have a trainer that we came down and trained everybody with. We actually pre-trained them, we split them up into two, a lot of people. So try to predict the information. We do these predictive models, you know, how, basically if you think about it, and I'll show you on the next slide, I can tell you where your PCI level is now, no problem. But in the future, we have to base it upon, well, how does your road drop? Like, it starts at 100, well, how long does it take to get to zero? And that's what the predictive model is, basically. And those voltages is for itself, you determine, like, I have 100, you know, how long is it taking to get to zero? How much money is it going to cost between there to keep them up and maintain it? This is kind of a curvy background, as we saw with a different model. So PCI provides a number for rating from 0 to 100. Obviously 100 is perfect and 0 is very bad. Okay? But what you're looking at is probably between 0 and 40. Those are pretty much bad. There's really no difference between a 10 and a 15 or a 15 and 20 is bad. Okay? This is a little better representation. We went through and found imagery, south-facing imagery, of roads that were 100, and you can see it's just tape. Okay, as well, I'm closing, so I'm going to use all these old streets. 7185 is another category, so you see the roads getting a little weathered. Another thing is going to take you another 6 months after you put it down because it loses its weather, okay? And then 56 to 70 is fair. This is sitting in the floor category, okay? So you have a lot of block cracks. Here, a lot more cracking. The cracks are bad. Why? Because they suck water in and then it expands every time it freezes. And this is getting really bad. So you got this, you know, so you might say 0 to 10, 11 to 25, and 26 to 40. It's not a huge difference, but you can see a difference. This one's basically gone, right? And this one's pretty much down too. So this is just basically showing you visual, like, how do I visualize a code for you guys? Okay? How do I visualize a code? This is one of the results, right? I'm sorry to see we got maps up here too. These are all digital offsets, they all have digital capabilities. But this is basically the city of Evansville, and green is good, red is bad, and yellow is on transition, meaning that it's kind of going bad. You got to put something on it before it gets bad. And that's, well, unfortunately, you see that here, and that's the only thing that pops out. But, I mean, that's the picture. In a nutshell, we do a presentation, and when this is MicroPaper's default categories, okay, which is APWA standard. So we always go red is bad, and it's good, and yellow is on transition.
Can you tell us what PCI means, Greg?
It's a payment condition, sorry. So PCI is a payment condition index. The index is basically taking all the cracking that we find out there, putting it into MicroPaper, and MicroPaper gives us a result depending upon the crack that it finds. It weighs like an alligator crack, which is load bearing, a lot different than we just do LNT cracking, which is just basically long string of transverse cracking. So there is math behind this to get to the 0 to 100, and then there's, you know, it also takes into account if it's a load bearing distress, a weather distress, something like that. And what this is, this overall weighted PCI, is basically taking all the PCIs from the entire network, every second, so intersection, has a payment condition index and a number, and just weighted the PCI average, okay? So we broke it up to asphalt and concrete, because if you have a little concrete in Evansville, some teams can have any concrete that had less than a mile, so it would become a factor. You know, we need to break it up for Evansville, because there's enough to break it up. So 72 would be your, and you'll see them on all these maps. They have all these maps heavily with the average PCI for each community. Okay. So now we're going to go over to the results. Anybody have anything about the technology and stuff first? The results are going to be every community, and it's going to look the same, but there's different results in them, right? So we'll start with project-wide, so every community-wide. This is a Shoulders model we used, okay? And this could have been an employee that grew up. There was only one inspection. We had some historic data from the communities. So we put all that together and came up with a model we used. This model is going to grow when you have more information. If you put more information into the database, I get a better model, and I can better predict the future. So predicting the future, which this is all that does, is predict how your facts or rules of integrity over time. Okay? And this is the information you use. Where this change, you can change this every report you run, every year. It's just a question you might change. Where it was up, where it was down, right? So this is what, these are the basically types of questions for our to use. And this is expected result change, okay, if we're doing this, if we're not doing this, then well, this isn't in the mix, right? Most everybody's doing something here. You don't overlay the reconstruction. So you don't overlay and reconstruction. You might appear to set them back to 100, but you got to know that maybe a middle overlay is not going to last as long as the total reconstruction. That's what this is representing.
Stabilization.
Oh, sorry. Stabilization means if you do this, okay, this is, these are basically maintenance and rehabilitation procedures. If you're doing this, it's expected to last an additional 4 years. Listen, if you put on a 72 and you do microsurfacing, so let's say approximately 4 years, that microsurfacing is going to wear now, okay, and it's going to go back to a 72, okay? So that's what that stabilization means, okay? So now this is everybody's results, okay? So as soon as that means we want to do this, we average concrete, asphalt, total is 72. So basically, most recently on Zoom, got some of the budget cut, and this is what their budget currently is right now. And as you see, their PCI are going to lose ground over the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years, lose ground. This bar represents, this red represents deferred maintenance. It's hard to read there, but deferred maintenance. What is the difference in deferred maintenance? It's basically what's left with it, okay? So you have $1 million if you're doing so much work. So your deferred maintenance is going to be higher because you have all this other work that could be done, right? Take deferred maintenance that you're going to install. It should decrease with more money. I don't know anybody that has enough money to get rid of everything. So if you went out and just fixed everything, you know, on your roads that are in bad condition or even the yellows you're talking about, that's a deferred maintenance issue. Cracking that you're not fixing. So basically, right now we're losing ground on the PCI in the condition. So if you guys think your roads are in good condition, this is a good rule of thumb is how do I keep it at that level, okay? And that's what we'll see next. So this is totally means how can I pretty much keep it where I am? And certainly, there's no difference between a 67, a 68, and a 76. There's no difference. It's not that sensitive, okay? So to keep him where he wants, if he's comfortable where he is, to keep him there, we need a $2.4 million, okay? To keep him where he is. As you saw, you know, sorry, we were losing ground in a million. We would lose ground at 2.4 million. Okay, that's just all this is representing. And we did do a hole for concrete. He's got a little bit of concrete, so that was the last one. So for concrete, he would need an additional 1.2 million to deal with his concrete the whole way. So this, which you will see here, is the total. So if you wanted to hold all your PCIs at the level they are, concrete and asphalt, this is what it would cost.
So if 50% of the funding of asphalt for concrete and concrete represents 15%.
Well, we didn't break, so this budget is a million, right? So in the budget scenarios, we just did asphalt. So keep your asphalt, all $1 million, your asphalt will decline, so you're not even touching the plan.
The 1.2 million.
Right, exactly.
The concrete 2.4.
It's less than 1.2.
Yeah, where 2.4 is to maintain the asphalt.
Correct. Right.
Mm-hmm. 1.2 is to maintain the concrete.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Concrete 70-some miles and asphalt 480-some. So it's 50% of the funding covers 15%.
Right. Concrete's a lot more expensive, right?
So it will last longer. You get a lot of benefit from doing concrete. Right? So it's, remember, your longevity, you're not going to have a 17-year hole, you fix that concrete, you're going to realistically have a 30, 35 year, if it's done properly, if you fix the drainage, you know, the other factors that would weigh in, if those were all all fixed. Concrete should last 2-3 times longer.
So that 1.2 represents a much longer hold at a higher rating.
Exactly.
Than 2.4.
And quite honestly, get better benefit by doing that concrete, right? But, you know, there's not as much things you can do to concrete. That's the other issue. There really aren't treatments, right? Right. So the asphalt preservation strategies that APWA has, those strategies mostly focus on asphalt because there are a lot of tricks that you can do in order to perpetual pavement type stuff to go on, right? So that, hey, let's put down some cheap fix to get some benefit for a small time and let's just keep doing that. In the concrete world, you're very much more limited to what you can do.
Right. But if you're not really seeing any semi-traffic, say, you know, for the most part, the side streets we have on each side and everything, then, you know, the asphalt becomes a little bit better deal.
That's a good point, because in the hardcore reports that we're going to give everybody, there's information on there about what an R2 and what it is. So, I mean, first mileage and PCIs for material collectors, that's something in the back of your head. Odds are, where your concrete is probably not material collectors, if they're the ones that get the most traffic. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with this system. If you give it the information, I don't necessarily know your ADP data, right? You're not getting traffic. However, I assume because you call them arterial collectors, you've got higher traffic volumes. And those are the ones you might be concentrating on more than your residential, which is fine. Those might be your concrete. So you're going to see this in the system and see this in your areas where, yeah, look at this. I know these are all concrete streets, and they're all medium to good, right? Because they're only halfway through their life cycle, and when the asphalt's mostly poor, because why have to touch asphalt while I'm not doing it, then the maintenance on it, and they drop faster. So yeah, there is that maybe keep it factor in what you're going to do to work too.
And if you did have, say, a truck route type, you know, if you could publish truck route information and you could put that into the system, you can then use the system to say, hey, in the truck route area, let's look at a different pavement design for the truck route options.
And it also go in certain areas and put in signs of no trucks over this.
Absolutely. Right.
And that would maintain that.
Right. You would hope. Right. But the challenge you've got is wet garbage trucks. Wet garbage trucks come on every road, and a wet garbage truck is not 40,000 pounds, it's 80,000 pounds, and it's really causing trouble. So you'll never be able to get rid of all your truck traffic, but you certainly can do maintenance or, you know, operational things to say, hey, let's try to keep the trucks. You know, where we live in Columbus, Ohio, all the aprons that the buses stop at are concrete, and the reason that is because when buses stop, there's a lot more forces. If you're stopping a big bus, it's filled with people, it's going to cause a lot more deterioration, so they have aprons at every one of these stops. Well, that's an expense as well. So, you know, there's so many things that you can think about. You don't want to do analysis paralysis, but you do want to have operationally, what can you do to help your pavements last longer? As a rule in America, we really need to start thinking about longevity of this asset infrastructure that we have. It's a major challenge.
I think we also have a lot of opportunity in Evansville with the insertion of the Roy Expressway years ago and Highway 41 even more years ago than that. There are certain areas of streets that we can vacate to the property owners where we wouldn't have to maintain those any longer.
That can help us well.
Find some budget money there too.
David, one other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, myself, just like all my contractors, got a notice from the concrete suppliers. $7 to the yard is the minimum increase that we're going to see in January. So, and that's just to make up trucking costs and the cost of cement. So, right now, concrete is way more expensive than asphalt.
Exactly.
And, you know, what Craig was saying earlier with our roads, our interiors and collectors, you know, during the boom of a residential construction in Evansville in the 80s and 90s, concrete was dirt cheap compared to asphalt. So the majority of our neighborhoods were put in this concrete because that was cheaper for the developer.
now, you know, 30, 40 years later, we're seeing that those concrete streets need to be repaired.
We prefer the ramp project than the custom concrete. We had like 20-30% over last year. The project is being...
Not really. Lehigh Cement and Mitchell, which was one of the major cement producers in the Midwest, has been shut down for about a year, and they're probably going to be down there 6 months doing environmental improvements to meet air quality standards and other issues. And so the producers locally have had to go to the other producers.
Sort of a regional situation.
Yeah. Right now, and Sean can probably comment on this a little bit, but Vandenberg County has high concrete prices in the state of Indiana. Pretty well, our asphalt prices are up. Southwest Indiana, our asphalt prices are up as well.
The same thing overall. So this is two gaps in the goals. Again, they have some concrete, a lot, at least now. Steve Henderson, asphalt payment. They have a budget, so we have a budget, I'm going to put it in there. They have a budget of $650, and they're actually rising, okay? And keep it where they were is actually lower than their budget. So if you want to just keep it where you are, $268,000. They got a nice budget, but they're actually maintaining the roads at a higher level, okay? Again, not as many streets, though, which is half the size, okay? So basically, this is the same graph, same budget analysis, and then really what we want to get down to is this, so asphalt, concrete, total, they're actually both the time and asphalt, that's why you see the rise in the graph. So they're getting a little more money to keep them at a higher level, okay? Warwick County, we broke Warwick County a little bit on some of these, but the next slide is just about Warwick County, but I broke this up so you can see everyone how their academic average PCI is. But this now is just Warwick County, that's 75. And then here's their budget, so Warwick County budget. Here's the budget going down a little bit. It's not dropping a lot, but then this is 5 years. It's not dropping a lot. 3 points isn't a big deal, but if the trend is going down, to maintain that trend where it starts leveling off, as you see here, and starts dropping at 2.66. And then again, we have a concrete budget too, 4.94, just below me. Their concrete's at a pretty high level, though. You need to wait a long time before that drops down and then critical mass. Again, this is not a lot of money getting treatments for concrete, just a few. Here's again your total for Warwick County. And then Warwick County jurisdiction summary. So we did a quick jurisdictional summary just to maintain the PCI, if you wanted. I don't know if you wanted to break it down for the jurisdiction. Vandenberg's kind of the same way. They have an annual budget of $1 million. So we're provided to see the downward trend. It looks a lot like Warwick County. Again, this is to keep it kind of in that same area, 2.45. Concrete again, pretty high level, right? And you're probably the first one that made this on this concrete. And then this is a bunch to hold it at the current level, 2.63 for asphalt and concrete. Again, if you track that concrete, it's only fairly 25 miles of concrete at 4.69. Now Henderson County, we didn't have a budget for them, so we just basically kind of what's going to keep them at their current level, and that's what they wanted, and we're going to figure out what their budget is, so we just have this kind of keep them there. It's not bad, they're at a decent level right now, 75, 76. That's in that zone, it's going to start dropping, but if you can keep the maintenance up, you can keep them kind of stable. Concrete was so low, we couldn't get a result. We can't get a weighted average on a mile. It's kind of hard. So, again, you know, that's a very, very little concrete, so, you know, I've been talking to some state budget. I remember this stuff, too. None of this information that I'm giving you right now has preventative maintenance, and there's not a lot of people doing it, right? So if you wanted to start performing preventative maintenance and see, you know, long run, see, preventative maintenance is a long-term thing, right? I want a five-year scenario with preventative maintenance put in there. You're not going to see a benefit. You know, on a 10-year scenario, you start seeing the benefit of preventative maintenance, okay? And there is a benefit to preventative maintenance. But the problem is, how do you spend your money stuff? And no one can really tell us that. We have a budget to do impact no overlays, and that's mostly all we do. Great. So we put that budget towards that. If you want to go into preventative maintenance, that helps us stick to that. Where am I going to get the money from? So you gotta think about that. How much force are you going to do? 20%, 30% of your budget is going to go into any other questions? That was kind of the end of the little presentation.
I kind of answered my question. What proportion of the budget would give you, is there some kind of sort of average?
It depends on the budget, right? I mean, a lot of people like to do between 25 and 30%. It's really up to the discussion, right? And how much do you, a lot of people are like, I don't want to take anything away from my loan overlay program. Some people want to go back to the commissions and say, listen, I don't want to take my loan overlay, so we need to get something in 200K or whatever, a portion for preventative maintenance. Oh, what are you going to do? It's a big issue too. Do you have someone, a contractor in the area that can actually do preventative maintenance? If you have anybody that does market surface in their case, you know, there's sort of experience. They might have to come in from outside. They're not going to come in to check the mile, you know. They want to come in and do something bigger. So that's a little issue.
I mean, Michael Paver, I think, has 40 to 50 different preservation treatment types and strategies, but if Brent can't go buy it because he can't get a supplier, why put it in the plan? You know what I'm saying? So the challenge with pavement preservation, and one thing I can tell you from an engineering perspective, the pavements are in satisfactory condition. You can't put pavement preservation treatments on 50s and below, and you know, 40s, 60s, 50s, those are not candidates for preservation treatments. But the stuff in the 70s, let's keep good pavements good longer. The whole perpetual pavement theory is let's let this infrastructure last as long as we can and keep doing cheap fixes timely and regularly as long as we can get them, right? So that is a major key. And the software allows you to run these what-if scenarios to say, what if I take 30% of my budget? What if I take 40% of my budget? What if I take 50% of my budget? And what if I look at it in a 5-year, a 10-year, and how do those type of things come in there? So that's the power of this tool and the model that's been built. All the distresses get loaded in, all of the work activity that gets done. So over the next 5 years, one of the big things that we are going to continue to harp on is we need to track what work gets done, because that work that gets done gets put into the system and it helps us get more accurately what's happening to that network, right? So that's an equal importance of the system as well as putting all this work in. And I know Brent is, I mean, we get updates from him all the time on, we just did this, this is what really happened, here's what we did, and here's the money we spent. And those things are critical in a paper management system. So EMPO is really going to focus on keeping this thing up to date and making sure that this tool is usable for the LPAs. One final thought, Frank, can you give us a kind of an update on some asset stuff and road characteristic, road infrastructure stuff that you're wrapping up?
We're in the QC process on all the assets. I mean, they're all measured. We're trying to get them packaged and out the door. QC me as well. We want to make sure no one put in back fingers and drop down boxes and everything's still in. So assets were, my sidewalks was an asset, okay? And drainage units was an asset. Okay. So all those assets in the suits are wrapped up, ready to go. Counties too. I think it was really an asset from the counties, right? It was like 100 and some miles. Because really the sidewalk there was an asset. So there's really not sidewalk anywhere in the counties, right? So those are being wrapped up right now. And we're going to actually start, I call them Dumping deliveries to you very shortly. They're wrapping right now. I just got from the office for this meeting. There is some point assets coming in that we'll be posting up. Those are GIS information, right? We're going to make pretty mass for you with this stuff information too. It's probably best consumed for now on our website and online because, well, then you can click on the imagery, have the imagery popped up. You're going to have those capabilities once you migrate the imagery into your systems and things like that. But right now, it's probably best consumed online and through the project page.
So what are the assets again? Sidewalk?
Sidewalk gauges, and striping are what we call linear asset, casual link. And the point assets are,
did some sign somewhere?
Well, that was best thing done in the river, Bloomberg gas signs. We got, what do you call them? Drainage inlets.
ADA.
ADA ramps. There was one more, and for some reason I was off top of my head. I don't know if you remember the point in the past.
Driveways?
No,
it wasn't,
nothing like that. There was one more point aspect.
I didn't know if you guys were for the pavement.
Markings.
So arrows and all
that. Striping markings like turning arrows and crosswalks. So let's strap crosswalks out. We call it marking, but we're giving you a separate shape of crosswalks so you guys can maintain them. So yes, markings and striping are different. Not just as one point turnout. Striping is just, well, here's the length of the yellow line.
Right.
So correct. That's what's coming.
If it's okay, Craig, and if he's readily available, can you just pull up the imagery? Do you have that? Just pull up, like, kind of like what we refer to as a video log, just to kind of show them what. Because that's actually been beneficial to us when either Google Earth or whatever Street View has picked up something, you guys may have picked it up, and whether it was a sign or. Yeah, I've noticed a lot of tree limbs blocking signal heads and things like that, looking at that.
We actually have hard drives right now for VSHU to start loading up all of the data in the EMPO so that you guys can house it and host it. This is sitting on our servers in Columbus, Ohio. It might be a little slow because it's going that far. You guys will have it locally. It should make things better.
That LCMS viewer that's right there, just
and if not, they're fine. Yeah, well, it'll pop up, just give it a check. Once the first one pops up, it actually will load a lot quicker. But unfortunately, when
you have that LCMS, you know, where you can go to fit the MPO and, you know, the one I'm talking about, that main picture where you just
put the MPO. I don't think there's LCMS for it, is there?
Yeah, it's there. We're graciously donating the 3D data to the project. I don't know if you heard that, but
I told you not to build it on top of it.
I know this is Brian the size team. He's going to charge you a dollar for each image.
Yeah.
No, we're going to just get it. We got it, you can't use it. We're done with it.
Your imagery. So with this viewer, it's kind of like move ahead 1 inch, move ahead 5. I mean, this is kind of tight spacing, so I mean, as you jump ahead, if you go forward and backwards in the image, again, just giving it to Lou when I want to slow it. Howard, would you want, this, I can do, give me a recent project to add this backspace so we can type it in, right?
You have media 2, just type in media 2, see what happens when you type in media 2. Yeah, right there, the PHP viewer. No. That's new stuff you're talking about, isn't it?
No, I'm talking about like...
Well, CMS.
Yeah,
right at the end. So what Craig showed you, the first one with the three pictures, that's the what we call the asset camera. So it's a front camera, a right camera, a rear camera. And those are handy to have, but what he's trying to show you now is the downward scan of just the pavement. Okay, so if you're a pavement guy, you want to kind of think about just the downward scan. If you're thinking of assets and signage and, you know, what other additional information do you need? That's the context all around. Yes, so you drop this down to EMDO and you submit. And up pops one, you go pick a date. Now we have this layer where you go into the map and you click the date and you can pull it all out and all of that will be there. But we just gave you a hard drive with all of that information. We'll put it on your server. We'll give you those links. You guys will actually be hitting your server, not ours. So that's a good image of the pavement.
Okay?
Like, it's not as good as the downward image that's lit with the laser and actually has better stability. Okay. So, you know, here we are literally driving down the road on October 14th or 5th, and then if we get into an area where you see cracks, Craig can actually click the crack and it will tell us what the depth of the crack is. So that crack, the depth is 1.5 millimeters, and the width, and it's colored based on the NSTM standard.
Like, this is the average crack. Just to clarify, we're looking at lane. This is the lane that we're driving.
Correct.
Correct. Just parallel.
Yep. So that blue, that purple line up top is essentially the ASHTO band that defines the roadway itself, and then the center line is up there to the just below the transect, like where that yellow is. That's the middle of the road. And we have them on one side or the other. That picture represents a 4 by 10 meter box of pavement. Okay, so that's a chunk of roadway. And what we have is a GIS that tells you where all those boxes of 4 by 10 meters are.
Okay.
That's how we do what we
do.
Craig's a GIS guy. He's not a presenter.
Right.
Any questions? Anybody?
I'll bring that up. I'll see you guys look at it later. I would say all this information you have, right? I mean, it's that, you know, you should go up and look at this. It's better to migrate and turn them over a little bit. And this is going to my bar server. Plus, the program will go to my
share.
We'll have a lot of this information on our website here. And by the way, we actually redesigned our website. Did you look at it? And it's going to be able to come up here.
Right,
Less green public notice. Oh, right here, click that. that's something that helps you discuss. It's not on the agenda that we're talking about here, but in a moment when I'm done.
Yeah, we need to. Thanks, guys.